What's up, everyone? I'm Tori.
And I'm Anissa.
And we are back for another episode of MTV's official challenge podcast, where we are going to go behind the scenes of the brand new season of the challenge, Double Agents.
And just a warning, this podcast is not spoiler free. So before we go behind the scenes, make sure you're up to date on the latest challenge episodes.
Yes. And on this episode, we'll be talking about my elimination. Going up against my best friend.
Now.
And all the insane drama that's been going on in the house.
Plus, later in the episode, we'll be joined by the challenge's very own and our bunkmate, Natalie Anderson, to discuss her surprise departure from the season and find out what's next for her.
All right. This is not the episode that I want to dive into, but let's just get it over with, Anissa.
I don't want to either. Should we just skip this week's?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to try and do this the best we can.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's start this one off the same way we start them all off, that 36-second recap in honor of it being our 36th season. So, Anissa, the timer is set. Give us what you got.
No.
Go.
Oh, God. So, I didn't win this challenge, but Big T and CT did. And then Big T had a mastermind plan to put Tori and myself against each other. Hey, who knew? I didn't fucking know, but I was crying and I actually had Tori hold me in her bed. And then we ended up going into elimination together. And what you didn't know is that, oh, well, I'll save that for a secret later, but it doesn't really matter. So Tori and I went in and I had to throw big balls that were heavy against a wall and I won, but it fucking sucked. And then you know what? That was horrible.
It's okay. I don't think I'm going to do any better right now.
This episode has had me in such a... I'm just such a mess. I'm so anxious. I can't even...
I know.
I can't even give you 36 seconds.
All right. Let me just try it.
All right, okay. Tori. It's your turn. Do your best to make the mess of what I just said a beautiful, beautiful... I can't even speak. A beautiful story.
Okay.
You got 36 seconds, Tori.
Go. All right. Okay, so we did the challenge, agent down. The winner was CT and Big T. I don't know what the fuck Devin was doing up there on that rope. I really genuinely was trying to not demasculate him by saying that he was definitely trying, but he was most definitely not. We're seeing that in the interviews now. What a motherfucking snake. After he doesn't win and I don't win, clearly fucking Big T has to win. And of course, she's on her little throne, which I got to give her credit. I mean, hey, when you want to sit on the throne, sit on the throne. But then she decides to do this fucking shitty ass move, put me and Anissa against one another in elimination, and I lose to Anissa, and then we do Creator Angels, and that's the end of my time on the fucking challenge. Oh, and Natalie leaves and Ashley comes back. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah. How about that? How about that?
Oh, God. There's so much to get into on this episode. I don't even know where to start, Anissa.
I don't know. The play of the day?
Okay. What do you think the play of the day was?
I have no idea. Because
I want to give it to Big T. Like, I obviously hate that I got the shit end of the stick, but like, you got to give the girl credit. Like, she went in there, she politically not outsmarted, but she just did the damn thing. She had the numbers, she made a big move, she had power. Like, I got to give it to Big T.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sucks, but you can't not give her credit, right?
Oh, no, I give her credit for pulling that off and me not knowing until watching the episode of how sneaky the queen is when she's on her throne.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I don't even know what my play of the day would be. I mean, I would say Jay really did a fucking phenomenal job this episode.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a strong boy. Like, he's a strong man. Sorry, Jay, I love you. He's a strong man who I think is, you know, underestimated, because I think the whole theme of this episode was about size.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God we were only talking about height. you know, he being, you know, one of the smaller guys is definitely, to me, like one of the smartest, one of the strongest. I think he doesn't get enough credit.
Definitely.
Yeah, he's a force.
Yeah.
So I am proud of him. And I thought, you know, not knowing what Teresa was up to, sneaky, it would be awesome if those two won. And I'm really upset that it was 5 seconds if they just would have held on in hindsight.
I mean, it's crazy that CT and Big T won that one. And like, that's how you know, like, we always say it for sure. Anybody could win any challenge.
Yeah,
there are so many variables that go in. Like the drone one, like that was literally anybody's challenge. You didn't have to have physical
ability. No, it
ability.
Wasn't. It was no one's challenge except for you and Devin.
But
because
no,
everyone was horrible.
That was
no,
a
no,
shot.
No, like, nope.
But I could have been horrible at that. Like who knew I was going to be good at it? You know?
You are the, I don't know if no one knew, but Tori's name is Drone Master Tori. All she does is fly drones.
Like, nobody knows I have a secret bunker in my backyard with a shit
ton of drones. Yeah, and you just fly drones under the ground. Yeah.
No.
It sounds totally like you.
But, like, so, like, Big T and CT win this one. And I hate that people are going around their house, like, trying to prove. Like, it's very clear in the challenge. You're going to be good at some things. You're not going to be good at other things. Just because I think somebody is weaker than me, or, like I said, and weak shouldn't have been the word. I should have used inexperienced, because nobody likes to be called weak. It's super demeaning. So I really do apologize to anybody that I offended when I said that. But what I was really trying to say is inexperienced rookie. And that's just something that is always going to be there. If you're a rookie in the game, people are going to assume that you probably will lose to a vet. That's just how the game works. And so I think it's great that CT and Big T won. It just goes to show that literally anybody can win. We already know that. But now when you have power as a team that is so connected, like Big T and CT, and also has all of those rookies on their side, I mean, at that point in time, they're going to make a power move. And that's why they did what they did.
Yeah. And that moves me to my dirtiest deed. I mean, CT just pretended that, like, I'm just going to let Big T do everything. But he definitely had his hand in that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And CT knows what he's doing.
I think also the dirtiest deed goes to the fucking house. I had no idea I was going in.
Yeah.
Literally was like trying to save them from voting you in.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I pulled a Nelly T. Like, aww. I literally just moved my mouth the way Nelly T would move his body into elimination for a friend. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, just laid my body down on the tracks and was like, run me over. Take my limbs.
Yeah.
And I fucking did not know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't know it was going to be us.
It was a tough
devastating
one.
I was crying. All right. Well, devastating.
Before we get into the elimination, let's just talk about the challenge itself, because it was terrifying. We were over
terrifying.
Top of that
waterfall. You seemed fine. No. You seemed okay. Yeah, let's get into this. Let's get into this challenge, because we were right next to each other.
We were, yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. I don't like heights.
No.
One. Two, I found out that a lot of other people don't like heights. I don't care what they say. I don't know how I'm dangling from this thing. They lead you onto it and they say, climb over and stand there. I'm holding on for dear life. I look like a snowman, frightened snowman over a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I've done this before where, you know, when we did Duel 2, we were over like this cliff in New Zealand and our partner had to hold us until they dropped us. But we were free falling. I mean, it was awful.
Oh,
this swung you out at least.
That.
Yeah.
You free that one was fell into water?
No, a canyon swing. So, like, you fell and then you hit at a certain point. But you fell, like, it was, like, 400. I mean, it was far. Like, you just felt like you were falling trying to grab air. So, I know what this feels like, which is almost scarier than not knowing.
Yeah.
So, going into it, I'm like, okay, we got to stand on this thing. He's going to pull this. Is Leroy going to be able to hold me up? Mm-hmm. Now, what you don't know is Tori's next to me.
Yeah.
But her partner's nowhere to be found. Okay, Devin's still trying to tie his shoes. Leroy has my hand straight and not crossed. And here goes Tori. Leroy, you should switch your grip.
Yep. I was trying to help you.
And what happened?
I know it was the worst timing, because I'm looking over. Devin's not pulling up this rope. I'm like, okay, well, there's not a shot in fucking hell that we're going to win this, because he's not going to even get to me in time. So I look over and I see Leroy get to you just in time. But you guys are holding that straight arm grip, like right hand to right hand or left hand to left hand. And so that's why I was like, switch the grip, like cross your grip, so that way you can make sure that like you had better stability. But you switched grip the moment the floor leaves our feet. You fall and it's basically my fucking fault. I'm so sorry.
I would have never wanted to fall in Peter Pan with anyone else. I mean, we did sing and fly the whole time we were down there. Yeah. I'm not going to say that wasn't scary, because every time someone fell, the whole apparatus would move a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we'll probably die if we hit. I'm like, well, maybe we could swim, you know, like maybe it'll be like a weird action movie where we're all okay.
Oh, my God. I mean, seriously. First of all, it was crazy outside. Like, it was so cold. It was windy. It was rainy. It was not actually a good day to be hanging off the side of a waterfall. Like, it was not. Yeah. It was scary.
Well, yeah. It's also like Iceland is the land of like, okay, we already know fire and ice, but the weather turns on a dime, so it just changes so much. So it's like, it's a beautiful sunny day, and we're like, oh my God, sunshine. Everyone's so excited, and then it's like hailing.
Yeah, totally. So, well, props to CT and Big T. I mean, they held on for a long time. Good for them. But then it obviously brings us to this predicament where the rookies are clearly very happy that Big T's in power. We all get back home. Me and you were trying to figure out how to save our asses because we knew. We smelled that shit out. We were like, oh, they're gunning for us. Like,
well, it's they just had the numbers. They really did. Yeah. And in any other game, we would have had this lined up that rookies would have went in first. Had anyone ever seen the challenge before? It's almost like a rite of passage. Like, you're a rookie, you go in eliminations.
Yeah, exactly.
You earn your stripes. You either come back. Like, it's not like, oh, because you're a rookie, you get a free ride. I mean, totally. That was part of some of it, too. If people thought, and the whole term weak, we're not saying you're physically weak, but weakness can be a mental thing. Some people can be strong as shit, but break mentally or weak mentally under pressure.
Absolutely.
So I think that people were, and this is what I tried to convey, like, in deliberation was like, you know, if we're going to say weak or what, maybe we need to change the way we talk about people or maybe change up the language a bit, but we also can't get offended by every little thing, too, because the guys call each other weak and small. Yep. CT's calling, you know, Josh the goof. Like, the guys play a totally different game.
Oh, for sure. And the thing is it was never meant to be demeaning. Like, it's not like, oh, these girls are weak, so we're going to get them out because it's malicious. No, we're playing a game for $1 million. Don't you want to go up against somebody who you think you have the best odds at beating? And that doesn't mean that you are definitely going to beat them. That means that me and Anissa have been in enough eliminations to know that you can fucking lose to anybody at any time. So you want to do yourself a favor and just hope that you go up against somebody that you feel like you can beat. It's a confidence thing. But you know what it is? I just got to say this too. People in the challenge house, if there is one thing to hold against you, to throw votes on your name, that's exactly what they do. They took this whole thing and made it about like, oh, we need to get Tori out because she's mean and she's calling people layups. The word layups never came out of my mouth, so that's a fucking lie. And the other thing is I only really confided in people who I thought I could trust when I said I want to go up against people I think I can beat. Like,
and that was Teresa.
Yeah, and so you don't even get to see that. I mean, you're the one that told me that Teresa really kind of like fucked us over and stabbed us in the back when she was a part of both of these schemes. But it's like, I didn't go around saying, you're weak, you're weak, you're weak. No, I talked to people I thought I could trust. I was like, I think that this person would be a good person to go up against. So like, if that's what's going to happen, that's what I want. It's so fucking clear to me. It's logic. Like, what are you doing on the show if you're not trying to set yourself up for fucking winning? It literally blows my mind. So they're all just hiding behind this idea of me being like, I'm not even going to call myself a bully, but like walking in
there.
You're
not. I love you so much. You're not a bully. I wouldn't be friends with you if you were one.
Yeah.
Not really into bullies. But I love how, you know, Teresa is that she never see those conversations where she told Cam that we were going to vote for her. And
that's
Cam told
so
me
fucked up.
That. And I'm like, Cam, I love you. Like, why would I vote for you? And because that happened, Cam and Leroy voted for me. I mean, they probably were like, yo, if Anissa and Tori are gunning for us, then we'll just go for them. And that's the only logic that I can come up with because I can't call them and ask them right now.
Yeah. But it literally makes no sense because literally the week before that, when I had power with Devin, Leroy was one of the names I protected. Like, why would we be working against you? Literally, we're working with you. Like, it's not even a question. When I had the opportunity to help you out, we did. And you did too. So it's like, what the fuck are, like, if Teresa really did tell Cam that we were going against her, I mean, that shit is so shady and fucked up. And I wish that shit was on camera because I want to talk to Teresa and be like, what the fuck? Like, that's how you want to play this game? That's fucked up. I mean, like, really rubs me the wrong way.
I know. Ugh. Hey, I was, to be honest, like, you're one of my closest friends. So, like, I trust you with everything. So why wouldn't I be close to you? Like, this is the first time I think I've ever played a game with somebody I love so much that I just really wanted to spend time with them. Because, like, on the off season, we hadn't seen each other. You were across the country.
And I think that's such a valuable point. It's like, we all experienced the crazy year of 2020. Went through COVID. Obviously, shit hit the fucking fan. Like, just with everything, my relationship was not in a good place coming on to the show. And people don't know that. So when I was there and like hanging out with you and having fun, I was like, damn, for the first time in a long time, I'm actually enjoying my life for a little bit. So like, you have that one clip of me being like, me and Anissa don't know what the fuck we're doing because we literally just enjoyed being with each other, having fun there. Like, I wish I would have played a better political game. But honestly, I think mentally where I was at with my whole fucking life, I just needed to enjoy myself because life was fucking hard.
Right.
Should we get into the elimination?
Okay, let's get into it. Do you want to go? Or do you want me to start it?
Whatever you want, I don't care.
I'll say this. I had an interview with Sky, one of our producers, right before, and she was like, come on, gal. You know, like, get pumped up. I don't feel it, you know. And I'm like, I'm pumped up. I'm like, but it's so hard to pump yourself up when you're going against you.
A friend, for like, sure.
I mean, it's not just a friend. Like, this, like, was breaking my heart. Like, yeah. I was so emotional about this. Like, I just didn't want to do it. But I was like, if I win or lose to her, I'm fine. And she almost was like, you're too calm about this. What's, you know, what's up? I'm like, I'm still going to try. I'm not going to just lie down because it's Tori, you know?
Yeah. Dude, you killed it. I mean, I just remember when we... Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's fine.
I mean, you just
You're giving me a compliment.
It.
Keep going.
Like, I just remember out of the corner of my eye when, like, you know, that horn blew and it was time to pull that rope. You pulled it so fast and so hard. And that was where I really fucked up. My technique, I don't know if I didn't have the strength. Like, I don't know what the fuck was going on in my head at that point in time. I think I was just like... I was just blown away after I saw you flip that thing. And then I had to reset my thing so many times to start over. Like, I was like, holy shit. Like, Anissa, you seriously, I gave it everything I had. So it's like I hate that people like sleep on you because it's like you fucking, that was heavy as fuck. And you crushed it on the first try. Like, that was heavy. People don't realize how heavy. And like the one other thing I got to say is all of these girls who think that I called them weak, whatever, come down there and try pulling that thing down because that thing was so fucking heavy. So if Amber or whoever wants to say, oh, Tori looks weak down there, if you could pull it down, then you could call me weak. That's all I got to say. But you got to pull it down first.
Yeah, it definitely, I think that there was that thing, that switch that clicked in me that was like, all right, you're about to be the bitch you used to be. Like, when you got in eliminations, you were like, this person's not going to beat me. Mm-hmm. And I've always been humble. Like, I've never said or doubted anybody's ability because I've lost to people that I thought I was stronger than.
Yeah.
And I've lost to people that, you know, I mean, and I've won to people that I thought, you know, were stronger than me. So it's just, it was just crazy. But I saw him and I'm like, I have to do it for every person up there that's doubting me.
Yeah, for sure.
And I have to do this for myself because even though you're my friend, you're viewed as a very strong player. And that to me is, I mean, if I beat you and I love you and you're strong, I'm pulling this fucking rope, damn it. And I'm like, okay, channel your inner whatever pulls ropes and pull this thing. And I think it was just a hand over hand. Like, I was like, I just need it. I need to keep it moving to click it and push it over. Because that's so what good. I knew if I didn't have the...
momentum.
Kind of, I went into autopilot. I don't know what happened, but I wasn't going to stop.
Yeah, you did such
but
a great
job. But I did, like, I took my time because I felt like once I looked over and I'm like, oh, she still hasn't pulled it. I was like, I have enough time to do it. And then when you started catching up, I was like, oh, shit. You know, I have three left. Maybe I should fucking find them. One being one I already hit. Mm-hmm. But, like, you didn't know. You couldn't see from that far what was cracked, what was whatever. So it was just...
I mean, it was such
just a lot.
You know, the thing that really fucking bothers me is, like, Devin. Like, I could have fucked him so bad the week before. I could have made him go into that hall brawl. He said, I'm going to get you your skull, Tori. Don't worry. So I didn't fuck him over. And I obviously threw Fessy in because I was like, whatever. That's what we're going to do then. But I could have fucked him so bad. I could have fucking crashed that drone. I worked with him. And this whole episode, all you see him being like is, fucker. I used it for
a week. Yeah, trash talking you.
It's like really fucked up. Like, I didn't know that was going on. Like, until I obviously watched it. And I'm like, damn, dude, you think you fucking, you really think you can trust people and you have no idea like that they're out to fucking get you. I just think it's like, it's like you, I should have fucked Devin over so bad. If I could go back and take anything away in this game, I would have made him go into that hall brawl against Nelson. That's literally what I would have done.
Yeah. I mean, I think about everything like at the end of that and then like stealing Fessy back because I made a joke and I wish he would have been there. But I pretended that I was going to steal Kyle and he was
Oh, I remember. I heard that.
He was so fucking nervous. He was so nervous. And I was like, this person has been really, I'm like, I'm sorry, Kyle, but I'm going back with Fessy. I'm like, come on, Fessy. If you don't want to be with me, at least say it beforehand because then I won't pick you and I could have picked someone else.
I think that I honestly think that clip from him saying, don't pick me was from the very first interview he did.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit when he said it.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I'm going to tell you something. Listen, I pulled him back to prove a point that if I win, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want.
Fuck yeah.
That was one thing.
Yeah.
And number two was to humble him. Like, listen, yeah. you're not going to win them all, clearly. Even with mm-hmm. Casey, you're not winning. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that I'm mad about is, like, he had a target on his back and he was being super selfish. And here I am picking him back when I literally felt like I was dodging a bullet by not being his partner anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, he told me after he left me to go to Casey, I could steal him back. So,
yeah,
Fessy, don't say shit you don't mean, bro.
I mean,
if you love me and you're my friend and you say that you do and you say that we are,
yeah,
then just be straight up with me, because I don't want to have to, you know what hurts more? Watching shit on TV.
Yep.
And, you know, then having to live through, you know, being with somebody who doesn't want to be with you. And I think that this challenge is like a lot of feeling like, you know, you don't know when somebody may leave you. And that kind of fear is just like, it's really fucking weird, because you trust people and they literally are saying other shit. So I don't know, girl. It's a crazy game. I miss you. I want you to still be on the show with me.
I miss you too.
Come back to me.
So we're going to take a quick break right now. And after that, we'll be back with Natalie Anderson to talk about her experience on this season of The Challenge.
Okay, folks, you have seen her dominate on Survivor. You have seen her on Amazing Race, and now she has come on The Challenge to frighten all of us. Please welcome Natalie Anderson to the podcast.
Hello. I'm so honored to be here with you two girls.
Aww. Thanks,
Matt. We love seeing your face.
Yeah.
Well, we're not seeing your face because this is a podcast.
We love hearing your face. Like,
it's like a roommate reunion right now.
Yeah,
we're just missing one.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, honestly, before we get into anything crazy, I just want to say I'm so fucking happy you're on The Challenge. I love everything you bring to the show. I think you're so badass. Like, just props to you for fucking coming on there and literally just being a fucking animal. And honestly, like, obviously what we're going to talk about is crazy and, like, it's your personal story. And I can't, like, wait to hear, like, your side of everything. But, like, you were a threat in that game, and I'm sorry that you didn't have the opportunity to fucking show people more of that. But you'll have it in the future for sure.
For me, like, the challenge actually didn't make me nervous. I think that, you know, I was so complacent with how Survivor and obviously Amazing Race is even easier. Like, I was so used to those challenges that it didn't make me nervous. I was excited to be nervous about competing again, because the challenges are just, it's just on another level. And so for me, the excitement and the nervousness was a cool difference, going to film a show and being like having those butterflies of being like, holy shit, like this is going to be intense. But yeah, I mean, I knew I was built for the show. And it was cool when I got there to see like that it all the thing, like everything, all my expectations were met with how they did the challenges and the production and all this, like literally no stops on the challenges. And that I was really impressed. So it was exciting.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I was excited about meeting you in the hallway before we did our physical. And then once we moved into the house
and
started doing cleans and front squats, I was like, oh my God, get her out of here. What's going on? Who invited her to the party? She's about to kill this. And then you were doing burpees, jumps over the wall. I'm like, you're like a different type of competitor.
That was cute though when we did all like our workouts. And then like after a couple, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to help these girls anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to work out on my own.
Which is smart.
I mean, at the start, I was like, it'll be fun. And then later I was like, you know what? The less in shape they are, the better it is for me. So I'm not going to help them get stronger.
Makes sense.
It really does.
Logical.
It really does.
It was hard to stay motivated in that house though, because like the weather, the food, it was like literally all we did while we were in there, because the corona, we didn't get to go anywhere, was just like hang out, eat. And then I had to just force myself to train there. And it was like so cold, but I knew it was the only thing that was helping too with my mental headspace being out there. And the gym was amazing, so I couldn't really complain.
Yeah. Honestly, you were the only one that was always out there in the rain. Like, every time I would walk out of the gym, you would be out there for hours. People don't understand how often you worked out, Natalie. I mean, it was terrifying for everybody. We were like, this girl
is sit down somewhere.
Jesus.
I hope it's one challenge where I have to stay still and not be active.
I would suck at that.
Totally. Well, listen, obviously, like, there's so many amazing things to talk about. We want to make sure that we get to kind of, like, why we're, like, having you as a guest right now. So would you mind just walking us through your decision to leave the show early and just what happened with that and anything you're comfortable talking about?
Yeah, so, I mean, literally, I could not have made this story up. Like, I came out there being in the most amazing shape. I was training so hard. Like, I train all the time really hard, but I stepped up my training before I went out there to the point where I was, like, running hill sprints. Like, in the evening, in the morning, I would be lifting. I would be swimming, like, everything you could imagine. So I was in this headspace of, like, I'm in the best shape of my life. Mentally, I'm prepared for this. I was out for revenge after losing $2 million. Okay, I didn't lose it because I never had the $2 million. But I let $2 million slip away from me on Survivor. And so I was just, like, ready for this. It was the first time I was leaving having, like, a support system back home because I've been in a relationship for, like, a year before I went out. And it was a very different feeling because I've always done these shows being super single. And it's just, I always feel like it's just me out there. And I left with this, like, feeling of having, like, this teammate back home. So I was like, I also had that on my chest. Like, I was like, I want to make him proud. I want to make myself proud. And I was just ready. The unexpected news of finding out I was pregnant while I was out there it came like such a crazy shock. I just didn't even know how I could get pregnant because I was under so much physical and mental and emotional stress before going out there. But this is life. I did not plan it, obviously. And the only reason I actually found out I was pregnant is because I spoke to Nadia on my first FaceTime call, and I had joked around about how my period was late. And I had mentioned to you girls while I was out there, like, I haven't got my period, but I always, like, on Survivor, when I'm stressed, I just don't get my period. So I just assumed that was why. I eventually ended up taking a pregnancy test, and, like, literally, I could not even believe. I was sitting with a stranger. I had just taken this pregnancy test. I went back into the house, and, like, I had no idea when I was going to get pulled. I was still trying to digest all this information. And, you know, it was just like this really abrupt ending to like a mission I was on. And, you know, for me, the idea of quitting is so hard, but I had to, like, obviously tell myself it's not quitting. I have to do this. And when I was out there, I didn't even know what I wanted to do. I had no idea what my body, like, it was like such a weird feeling because I was super proud of my body being able to compete. I was like, when I watched last week's episode, I was sitting with Devin and I was like, Devin, my boyfriend, not Devin from the dump show. Because like every time I say Devin, they're like, Devin? I'm like, no, my Devin is not challenge Devin. You know, he just keeps saying like, I cannot believe you're pregnant here. And I was like, I cannot believe, which is amazing because it shows how like our bodies are so resilient. I was able to fly. You know, I was already pregnant before I left. I was 8 weeks. When I came back to the States and I went for my ultrasound, I was 8 weeks pregnant, which is insane. And I noticed some changes in my body, but I'm very confident when my body changes. Like, I've been heavier and I'm still fast, still strong. And I never look at my body and criticize what my body looks like. I only think about what it's capable of. So I noticed my boobs were big on the show, and even watching it, my friends are like, oh my God, Natalie, your boobs are huge. I was like, yeah, I know. I didn't even think about all that because I still felt strong. I felt healthy, but you know, obviously I was pregnant. And my body did change on the show, and watching it now, I can notice some of the differences. But I still felt strong and capable of everything, you know? So anyway, I digress. I found out I was pregnant. I talked to Devin, and, you know, I think he was more in shock, and he's not like a reality TV person. So for him, the idea of being away from me during something like this was just really, really hard for him. Like, he literally wanted to fly to Iceland to be with me. And like, the producer was like, listen, you're not going to get to see her. Like, there's no point. Like, just, you have to just stay put. But, you know, for normal people, that's a very weird thing to do, to get a call from me. And I was like, hey, babe, like, I just found out I'm pregnant. I'll call you back. And that's basically the whole conversation. And he was freaking out, obviously. But he knows I'm strong. And he knows that, you know, that I wouldn't be, like, freaking out about anything. I just kind of took everything with stride, made peace with my exit. I didn't know when they were going to pull me. So when you watch the episode, you probably notice how, I'm just, my face is like, oh my God, I can't believe they're going to do this now. I knew it was coming. I just didn't know how it was going to happen. And yeah, I came back home. I was so, like, everything happened so fast. Like, I was just out there. I just got used to being in the house. Like, I had got my gold scholar. I was like, all right, this is it. I'm chilling till the end. Like, so I'd like prepared for that. And then to come back home, I allowed myself to just like breathe and be back in my space with him. And the idea of having, you know, a baby was crazy, but at the same time, me and him, like, I could see myself doing that. And, you know, for me, I said everything happens for a reason. I just, you know, gave away 500,000 because in my head I was winning at that point.
Yeah.
So I was like,
yeah, you're solid.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like embraced everything. I was in a good space and I was thankful that my body was able to go through all that and still be healthy. Everything was fine with me. I'd come back after everything and I got a check. But then unfortunately, like a week after I came back home, I had a miscarriage and, it was like this other bump in the road. It's like, I'd already gone through, I had like made peace with the fact that I wasn't going to get to compete and follow through with what I went out there for. I came back, I digested like coming back from the show early, that disappointment in myself, letting down my family, letting down Devin. But then after having him around and like understanding like this isn't the end of the world, like I'm so competitive, so it's hard for me. But then after that, having to go over the second bump of like, you know, randomly and for no reason, you know, losing like the pregnancy, it was hard for me. I just was a ghost. All I did was talk to Nadia and Devin. Nobody even knew I was home, which was awesome because I used the opportunity of people thinking I was filming to just have my personal space and my time from everybody. And I took a long time to kind of just make amends with that, because for me at that point it was like, not only did I give up on the show, I also didn't have anything to show after, because like I came back and then I didn't have anything to, you know, celebrate. So it was really hard for me, but you know, I never blame myself. And I've talked to a few people after, and a lot of women that have gone through this end up blaming themselves. And I never had that guilt. I never even for once thought, what did I do? Because I know that this, I'd gone through so much already and I was fine. So literally something out of my control affected my health. And, you know, it wasn't my choice. It wasn't my fault. And I feel like I had such a good grip on what happened. And like my approach to dealing with things with my body have always been in a positive light. And so for me, I was really proud of myself that I was able to get through that, start training again, never once blame myself, and be in this position now to be able to watch the show in a healthy mindset and celebrate me even being out there for the few episodes I am, and just being able to, you know, look at my body, look at the resilience of it going through all this and still being strong and well. And for me, I just wanted to share that story with anybody listening, because my now seeing people come up to me and tell me, like, the few friends that I've talked to and friends of friends who have gone through this, they have a really hard time kind of letting go. And I never had that. I never, like I said, I never looked at myself and blamed myself. And I want women, and if I can affect one woman, to let her know that her story and what she did, like what happened to her has nothing to do with, it's not her fault. That's all I want to do.
Yeah.
And I also want to give fans like some closure, because they know me and they know that me quitting wouldn't, like, it's not something I would do. I was gonna, you know, it's easy to use a random scapegoat as a reason I left. Like, I've seen like Twitter things about family emergency. I don't want to use my family as a scapegoat. I don't want to use a fake death, because in today's world, crazy things are happening, and I don't want to just use something as a crutch. I kind of want to own my story and, you know, be honest with what happened, because I think that's a way I can also make peace with everything that has happened to me. Yeah. And move forward. So that's why I was really open to just sharing my story, being honest with what happened, and, you know, show that I can be super strong. And like women like us who come off as always being strong and tough, we can go through hard things like this. And it's a part of being strong is being vulnerable and being, you know, soft and like feminine and strong and bold. It's all part of me. And I'm not just one-sided. And so for anybody that has suffered this and don't think they're as strong as me, like, I just want to say that you are as strong as me. You can be, and it's not your fault. And you should never Let it hold you back from doing anything and never feel guilty and just let yourself be at peace with what happened. I feel very lucky that I'm in this mindset and that I can be happy about everything and watch the show and, you know, be in a good spot right now.
Wow. That's amazing.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
I mean, it's like truly inspiring and powerful. Mm-hmm. And I think it is so important for you to share that story because there are so many people who look up to you. Seriously. Like even like I look up to you, I look at you and I'm like, she's a monster. And like, that's a crazy mm-hmm. story. And it's hard to be vulnerable in the social. So many people are so judgmental and everybody's got something to say all the time. So you are definitely going to help somebody with your story. And mm-hmm. I'm really happy that you have the ability to talk about it. And I'm just thankful that you're opening up about it. So thank you.
And in such a positive way of like describing your body as being like this amazingly strong and resilient thing that like the body is just not something like it serves a purpose and it, you know, it keeps us safe. It helps us to do things, but it also, it's transformative and we should love all of those parts of it, which is such, for young women, for older women, I mean, for anyone, I think in this day and age, especially when everything is like revolving around social media and what other people think of you, it's just awesome to have that kind of perspective. It's so inspiring. I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
Switch up some things.
No, it's crazy. Sometimes I look back and I still can't even imagine that it happened like the way, cause after, you know, we went through so much, the quarantine, I was pregnant in the hotel room in LA for a week. Like, why couldn't I just take a test then? I would have known. Mm-hmm. Like to think that I did all that, like went out there and then it just seems so crazy. Like even now when I sometimes think of it, I'm just like, did that really even happen? Like mm-hmm. how, like what are the chances, you know? But I think for me, and even seeing like you girls out there, like for me, seeing women kind of celebrate our dominance and celebrate being strong and being fierce, but then also being able to, you know, own up to being vulnerable and sad and everything that comes with us, you know, because I feel like I've always shown only one aspect of me because I'm Survivor. I cried, obviously, when I was depressed. But like for the most part, I was like so strong and like I love that I can help women do that and feel strong and empowered. But I also want to own up to my vulnerability and being, you know, in this position where I really had to work through some hard things. And it also had to do with like my relationship. I think Devin was really strong for me, but he never made me feel like it would have been really easy for somebody from not in this world to kind of pinpoint the show and maybe say something happened because of what I was doing, but I was completely healthy while I was being a lunatic in Iceland, you know, like what happened to me when I was back home in my regular routine, eating my regular food.
Yeah.
So I think it had to do with how me and him dealt with it too. And obviously I think it was a make or break with us because what I went through was so hard for him and for me. Mm-hmm. And it just, it was like, I look at it as like in a, for me, a silver lining is I learned so much about myself. I learned so much about my relationship. And I learned that, you know, sometimes the shows and the money, that's not the most important thing. Sometimes you really have to listen to what you need. Like, obviously, I was pregnant, so I couldn't compete. But in a situation that we are all in, sometimes it's so tempting to just stay out there and suffer. But sometimes it really does take, you know, a champion to know when to rest and, like, take a break from things. And I think that's, like, the biggest thing I have to tell myself.
Yeah, totally. Well, I think it's safe to say that number one, everybody is obviously very thankful that you've opened up so much about it. And number two, people are definitely going to be sad that you're not going to be on this season anymore because so many people, you have so many fans out there. So for all the fans that are out there, what can we expect next from you? Like, do you plan on coming back on the show?
Because I've been seeing you work out a lot and I know you do already, but it's kind of annoying because you did one of these power snatch. I just, you know what? Stop snatching and stop cleaning so much weight. It's like, wait, what's she about
Tori's
to pick
been working
up?
Out more than me, okay?
No, she's just looping the same video. She just changes outfits. It's one day. She just changes outfits every don't believe the hype, Nat.
For me, like, I honestly, my decision to come back is going to be after my final episode. So I told producers, I really want to be able to be in a good headspace. For me, I know I can physically get ready to come and compete, but for once in my life, I'm going to really, because I don't know if I was in the best headspace going out this season. I just kind of like Survivor just wrapped, and I was kind of going out there for like redemption instead of being going out there to do something that, I mean, I knew I was going to be good at it. So I want to really be in a good headspace and take a really long, deep breath and ask myself, is it worth it? Like the money, the time, me going through this again. I got to tell you, living in that house was very difficult for me. Like, I would rather starve on an island than live in a house like that again, which is crazy.
I mean, it's fine for us, like, other people who are competing against you. I mean, if you want to take a break. Yeah.
You know what I love that you just point out in this moment? That you're like, even though I've been on a fucking island on Survivor, I still don't want to fucking go in the challenge house. Thank you for acknowledging how difficult it is to live in that fucking house. It sucks.
It is insane. And I heard that I had it good compared to like the bunker and stuff.
Yeah, but the other thing is the bunker had different levels. We were all on the same level all the time and could always hear each other. And I was always so paranoid that somebody heard me, like, I don't know, talking about something, or it's just, I never felt like I was alone.
I think I would rather be in the bunker too, because you can get your personal space in the bunker. There's zero personal space in that house. Like, I was watching with Devin, and like, there was a gym scene, and I was like, that's my room right there. You can see right there. He's like, there's no doors. I was like, doors? I would.
We would hide behind because nobody knew. And I'll add another secret to this episode. We would change behind our closet door and sit on the bench bare ass trying to put... Well, the bench was also Natalie's closet, because people also didn't know that Natalie's closet was the whole side of the room. She had a wardrobe, but she loved that couch.
I just didn't have anything in my closet. I had no clothes compared to y'all, okay? They took all my clothes away from me too. Like, I didn't have any clothes.
She was so upset about that. She was like, idiots.
My other favorite thing about Natalie is, before we go into like really comparing it to Survivor and The Amazing Race, is how every night we had to go out to the club, you literally tried to not go. You literally asked, can I stay home? Can I sleep? Can I go to bed?
I hated
it. You hated it.
Oh my God. I hated it. Like, maybe because I was pregnant, I was super tired. Now I'm even more tired and antisocial than usual. But like, anyway, I didn't want to go to the club. And everybody probably thinks that I knew I was pregnant because I didn't drink, but I just don't drink,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, but I acted like a pregnant lady because that's who I am. I never drink anyway.
Oh my God, dude. So,
but yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. Like, now I'm so happy that I can, you know, just for me to be able to be in this space, talk to you guys about it, be honest, be vulnerable. And I think the biggest thing I took away is that my body's resilience, you know, going out there, I was training so hard. I don't even know how I got pregnant, but I was training so hard. And then I I was tackle practice with my 250-pound boyfriend. Like, come on. Like, literally, like, asking him, like, tackle me. He's like, are you crazy? I was like, obviously, I'm crazy.
Obviously. The fuck? Yeah.
So, like, for me coming back, my body, I gained a lot of weight on the show. And like I said, I'm so happy and proud that while I was out there, I was still just as confident. I was in my sports bar training, even though I came back and I weighed myself, because obviously I didn't weigh myself while I was out there. I checked when I left, I was 145. When I came back, I was almost 155. So I gained almost 10 pounds while I was on the show. But for me, that never changed the way I trained, the way I like looked at myself. Mm-hmm. I felt a little fluffy sometimes, but I was like, oh, my boobs are getting bigger, cute. Like, that's how I was. Like, you know? So I think that that's a really good point, because I want women to know, like, you know, they criticize and they analyze and they like critique everything about their body, but they never thank or give thanks for what their bodies are capable of. And I think that I've always done that, and I've never, ever, like, ever apologize for how I look. And I just want to send that message too, like, your body changes with everything you do. Mm-hmm. But there's so much resilience, so I'm always thankful for my body. But I've put it through a lot with Survivor and Extinction, the challenge. So, and that's another message for me that's really important, is giving thanks and, you know, praise to our bodies, because it's our home, you know. And I take good care of it, but I'm also very kind to it. So that's important for me.
You look great in a sports bra and leggings. I will say, frightening shoulders, but you look great. You have a tush.
In
like
the best way.
Yeah.
Best
like way. You look strong, but there, you got curves. Like, it all look great. So don't worry.
Yeah.
We were the body positivity room, I think.
Yeah.
So
100%.
And we had all different body types. Mm-hmm. It was cute. And Theresa too, like she's so skinny, but she can own, and people can undermine and like say that she's not strong because she's so small. But that girl, you know, she's stronger than she looks. So mm-hmm. she's, you know, she's out there for the skinny body shamers.
Yeah, facts, you know, yeah. Honestly, facts. Well, thank you so much, Nat. Honestly, we love having you. I hope you do come back. But girl, I respect any decision you make.
Me too.
And you're always going to be my fitness goals. So keep posting your shit because I'm going to copy the shit out of you. And yeah, hope to see you in Jersey. Like, we should all do some squats together.
That's what I thought too. Next time you're in Jersey. If we don't do burpees, it's great.
Yeah. No, you got to do burpees. Girl. Come on.
A couple burpees.
A couple.
I'm not doing 100.
Well, Nat, thank you so much for coming on here. We love you. Can you tell people where to follow you and if there's anything else you want to say or where they can reach out to you about stuff?
Yeah, Natalie End, N-A-T-A-L-I-E, another E-A-N-D on Instagram. I get so many cool messages from women, I think from my Survivor seasons too sometimes. And I'm really responsive because the one thing from Survivor that always came back is, you know, I get a lot of moms telling me that they're so proud that their daughters can watch a girl like me on TV, and that's always inspiring for me. Almost worth losing 2 million. Psych. and you know, so you can reach out to me on there. I'm going to be doing some stuff with MTV about, you know, where people who go through miscarriages and are having a hard time move forward with their life. I'm going to have some resources up after the episode. So if you have been through something like this, or you in general have a hard time moving through something that you feel like it's your fault, don't. And maybe we'll have something to help you work through it. And if you've ever held on to something and feel like you've, you know, been mean to yourself or been unkind to yourself because of something you had no control over, don't be. Just, you know, embrace yourself and let it go.
Thanks so much, Nat. That's
praise
beautiful.
Nat. Praise All praises Nat. Praise to me. Nat.
Praise blessed be the fruit,
right? May the Lord open.
Nat, amen. Lord open.
Right, which goes totally against everything we just spoke about. But yes, Natalie, thank you so much. I mean, it takes a lot to talk about it. I can only imagine.
And I was stoked. I was stoked I got to talk to you too about it. So made me feel very comfortable.
Yes. We love you, girl. Thank you so much. We're a fan of you over here.
Really big fan.
Take care.
All right, Nat.
Bye, Nat.
Bye.
Natalie is seriously amazing. I love that she is being so open and vulnerable with her story. And I think it's so awesome that she talked about it all. So that was awesome. What did you think, Anissa?
I thought it was amazing. I mean, it's awesome to show all of these different sides of yourself and to feel, you know, I'm grateful that she feels safe enough to speak to us about it and that she is sharing her story, because I know that a lot of people go through this, and she's very inspiring. So I'm just definitely grateful that she came on, and I know that a lot of people will benefit from her story.
Totally. I'm so with you on that.
You want to know what we didn't benefit from this episode, though?
Yeah, tell me.
Lies.
Facts.
Lies and deceit.
So much.
Which brings us to our closing segment, Challenge Confidential, where we talk about some shit you didn't see in the episode, in addition to all the lies that were being spewed from the mouths of people we thought we could trust.
Why don't you set this up, Anissa? Because I didn't know any of this until you got home and you told me. So why don't you let the people know what the fuck went down?
Let me tell you. So what happened was, after I won and I cried hysterically on the bus and Cam put her arms around me, we got back to the house and I'm just sad. I go in. I mean, they should have played music. I mean, aww, it was bad. I looked at her empty bed. And then I see this note. Mm-hmm. And Teresa brings it to my attention. And Teresa's like, I wrote either you or Tori a note, depending on who came back. But it's crazy because at the end of it, Tori wrote, suck my dick.
Yeah. Okay.
Therese starts crying because she received a letter from you that was very kind. So Teresa's still trying to put the pieces together of why you write suck my dick on the letter.
Right.
And then you sent her a letter. So Tori, clear that up now that we know
because
this whole story.
This is what I didn't, first of all, let's be real. Oh, God, there's so many ways to talk about this, but I'm going to just go from what I know. I saw that note and it signed T. I did not think it was from Teresa. I thought that note was from Big T because Big T knew that she was going to put me against you. So when I said suck my dick, that note was for Big T. That was not for Teresa. But Teresa's guilty conscious, like now she knows. Like, first of all, Teresa shouldn't have written either one of us a note because she should have been fighting to keep us out of it because we all thought we were working together. And how did she know it was going to be two of us against each other? Maybe she knew that the house was going to vote one way, but she wouldn't have known, oh, either Tori or Anissa. And then she didn't give us a heads up either. So she was clearly in on
not
the
a heads
the whole
up
time.
At all.
She was in on it the right, whole time.
And then Amber, wait, I got more secrets. The Amber walked by the room before deliberation and was like, Amber B. Mm-hmm. And she's like, just to let you know, like, your name's out of it. Like, I'm doing the best that I can. Since when? And then after I got voted in, she was like, I didn't vote for you, which I know for a fact that she voted for me because I saw it.
Yeah.
You voted for me, Amber B. Mm-hmm. Cut the shit. And Teresa told, I have so many secrets. And Teresa told Cam that Tori and I voted for her.
And that's
which
fucking
we didn't.
Fake news. Why would Teresa do that? I need to get that cleared up. I need both of those girls to look me in my face. And I believe Cam because we've already talked about it. I just need Teresa to tell me why the fuck she would do that. Clearly she was trying to stir the pot. Clearly she was trying to make us lose our numbers.
Well, Teresa wanted to get out anyone who was going to be a competition in the end. So she wanted everybody out of the way.
Which makes sense. So I can't hate her for
that. Yeah, it makes sense. But
you, when you trust somebody,
it hurts. So
yeah.
So, and that she was teamed up with the rookies, which I would understand, you know, you're coming back in this game after not playing for a while and you got to do whatever you got to do. But it really made me lose trust in our friendship and will dictate, you know, the next episode and what happens there.
Yeah. Oh, man. Honestly, it's just this season was such an eye opener knowing the how everybody moved. And I think it's just going to like cause me to just be very, very cautious next time if I decide to go on another season.
I don't like to be weaponized, and that's what they did with us. And it just, I think that that's the part that really messes with me.
Yeah.
Is like they used me to try and take you out. Well, like if anybody can, which is kind of a compliment, but a backhanded one.
Totally. And it hurt. But honestly, we could look at the negatives of it all. I say we end on the positive note. We just celebrate your victory because it was so well deserved. Just.
Oh, another secret.
Oh, shit.
I had Tori's name in permanent marker on my tummy.
Ah, that's so true.
And Tori had her name, like prison tats.
We literally did. When they called, we went into that elimination assuming we were probably going to go against each other. And like fucking Patrick and SpongeBob, when they're wearing each other's underwear color, and Anissa, I had Anissa's name written across my stomach.
Were wearing my underwear
had
too.
Tori, yeah, probably.
Who knows?
And that's when we do those sand angels and we're just like, fuck, dude, this is our life. Like, what is
And they
going
gave
on?
Us like 30 minutes to be down there. I mean, longer than anybody to like, because that kind of friendship, they were like, let's let these girls have their moment because they knew that that was going to be like a shot to the heart for me. You hold it together a little bit better than I do. But like we definitely had those tattoos to go further. We were going to go out and I still had your name on my stomach the next day and I couldn't get it off.
So funny. Me too. I'm like sitting in the hotel room because obviously like when you get kicked off the show, you have to sit in the hotel room I had to sit there for 3 days and I was just looking at your name. Like I didn't have a phone, nothing. I literally had Netflix for 3 days. I was just sitting in my sorrows looking at your name on my body.
Like, I mean, it could be worse. It could have been somebody else's name.
Could have been way fucking worse. Oh my God. Totally.
Could have been Devin's name.
Yeah. Oh, fuck that, dude.
All right. Ending on a high note. I love you, and we're still here in real life.
I love you, too. And you know what? I'm not going to be on the season anymore, obviously. Anissa eliminated me, and she got her gold skull. But at least I will be on the Challenge podcast. So definitely listen to us here because I'm going to be with you guys through the entire season, and we are going to talk about everything we've been talking about, all the ins outs.
Yes, you can't get rid of her that fast because she's still here.
Still here, motherfuckers. But yeah, follow me on Instagram, guys. Send me some love because I probably need it after this episode. Tori_deal. And I got a lot going on my page. I got books. I got podcasts. Come through. Come be a friend. Anissa, where can we follow you at?
You can follow me at Anissa MTV. That's A-N-E-E-S-A MTV at everything. Where I don't have books and other things, but sometimes I post pictures of myself. You can DM me if you have any questions. If I don't respond to you, I still see your questions. I screenshot a lot of them. And when we can throw them up on the podcast, we will.
Yes, totally. And make sure you guys just watch every week of the challenge with us. We are so excited to go behind the scenes with you the next morning on MTV's official challenge podcast. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Yes, until next time. Ciao.
Bye.